Your siblings, your brothers all look alike. It's crazy. It's crazy. Like that could have been any one of them who just walked by. Okay, a little bit older, a bit younger, but they all look the same. And you're also frozen. Just, well, this is going to me, you're frozen. I don't know if you really are frozen. You're probably not really frozen. But is Margaret frozen for everybody else or just me? She's frozen. Yeah. At least she's smiling and she's a beat. Oh, there you go. Wow. Now you're fr now you're on. Okay, there you're good. Okay, good. Excellent. Okay, let's start. It's actually funny because I actually don't look at the camera once I start. So okay, let's do the following. Okay, good. Good morning, everyone. I want to do. We had a. It doesn't work so well for many weeks. It happened to work well for a couple of weeks, and so since we have an opportunity to do it. I believe it is worthwhile doing. And you're like, what are you talking about? So let me explain. There's a, another Mishnah. There's a, another Mishnah in Pirkei Avos that pertains to our Parsha. So this is something I've been thinking about for a while. I've dealt with it before in other contexts. I actually spoke with this. I think I spoke with this actually at the Bytes, since none of you dove in there, none of you have heard it. So it is why not worthwhile of mentioning. It's a well-known Mishnah, and at first glance, it seems, kind of like somewhat obvious, not that revolutionary. And then kind of the more I think you try and figure out the underlying message, I think you actually find something quite shocking. And last week at Parshas Korach, we did a Mishnah, and this Mishnah just comes one, two Mishnahs later in Parakeh. So what I'm going to do now is I'm actually going to share the screen with you, and I would love to do a part two. I have to squeeze two things in at once. We shall see. Wait a second. Share screen. Here we go. Says the, it's a Mishnah in Avos. Kol mishish biyado shlosha dvarim halalu, mitalmidav shel Avraham Avinu. Whoever has these certain characteristics, they're considered a student, a disciple of Avraham Avinu. And three other ones, Mitalmidav Shel Bilam Harasha. And in case you're not sure, this week's Parsha is a double header. It's Chukas and Balak. And Parsha's Balak is read the story of Bila. So what are they? Ayin Tova. It means a good eye. It's not nothing to do with a, baseball. Everybody knows, I think some of you might appreciate the baseball analogy. Good eye means that you know the pitch is high, low, in or out. That's not referring to here at all. Does not refer to a good eye, but rather probably referring to a good eye, meaning when you look at things, you see something positive, beautiful, uplifting, godly, right? Veruach nimucha, there's a sense of humility, right? A low spirit is a terrible translation, but that's behind it. Nefesh shefela. Again, this is a bit complicated. What's interesting in ruach nimucha and nefesh shefela? The commentators spent a long time on it. We're not going to, but nonetheless, it's a notion of humility. I'm not referring to ruach nimucha like a deflated tire, but rather a person's spirit is not haughty, right? Again, nefesh shefela, a person's soul is not haughty or uplifted, right? But it's shefel. It's a sense of humility and humble. What does English say over here? A moderate appetite. What? Why is it nefesh shefela? Nefesh, interesting. Commentary is nefesh shefela is talking about a physical thing. Okay, that's not how I've translated it. Interesting. I guess they want to show the distinction between the previous one, maybe. Avinu. What about if you're a disciple, God forbid, of Bilam? Ein ra'ah, ro'ah gevuah, and nefesh rechavah. A bad eye, someone looks at them, which is negative, a person who sees the world around them with a sense of anger, with a sense of hostility, with a sense of frustration, and ruach gevuah, the sense of haughtiness, nefesh rechavah, the sense of wideness of breath, the sense of, again, being haughty as opposed to humble, as considered a disciple of Bilam HaRasha. Okay? My ben Talmidav Sha'am Ravina Talmidav Bilam HaRasha. Right? What's the distinction between them? Tamisham Avram Avinu, Ochlim Balam Azevin, Ochlim Balam Haba. They eat. There's benefit to this world, but of course, all the benefit is Alam Haba, inherit Alam Haba. Quotes a pasuk from Mishlei, Lanchil Vayesh, Bos Rosehem Amalei. By the way, this pasuk is quoted elsewhere in Shas. Bonus prize if you can figure it out. I thought you could just Google it and find it in 2 seconds. Aval Talmidav Shabulam Arasha, Yorishim Gehenim, Yoridim Levashachas. Quotes a pasuk from Tehillim, that essentially, if you're a disciple, you're Talmud of Bilam, the evil Bilam, you're essentially going to inherit Gehenna, and you're going to descend to the deep despair. Okay, so what's like Gehenna, and what's Bereshachat, what's between them? Not our topic. But at first glance of this Mishnah, it's very cute. You're comparing, you're contrasting Talmudim of Avram and to Bilam. And you think, nice Mishnah. But the truth is, there's something much, much deeper that exists here. And if you want to appreciate the comparisons between these two narratives, you actually have to be familiar with the story in this week's second of our two parshios. Full disclosure, everybody, full disclosure, it is my bar mitzvah parsha. So there you go. I can talk about Balak for a very long time. Actually, when I was 13, it was Balak. And year after, when I was 14, it was Chukas Balak. So I had the opportunity to learn a double parsha, which is the only double parsha which is found in Chutz Aretz and is never, does not exist in Israel. Those of you that are familiar at all with what's going on in Israel right now, from a Parsha perspective, it's single-header. They did Chukas last week. We are a week behind. The second issue was with Shabbos, so we read Laning for Yantiv, you know, although, like, there was no shul, so, like, no one even knows what's going on. Whereas in Israel, life was actually somewhat back to normal by then. Yeah, it was. And they actually led the Parsha Shua, so they've been a week ahead of us. And so the Shabbos is catchable. So, which I guess if we were traveling to Israel, you'd realize, but you know, since we're traveling to Israel, people don't realize that, sadly. Okay, so what is this Mishnah all about? Comparing, contrasting Bilam to Avraham. So a number of things. Number one, is they're not just comparing, contrasting the disciples of Avraham and the Bilam. Rather, they're actually telling us, excuse me, something very profound. There's a lot of similarities between Avraham and between Bilam. This was a live share, and people were much more willing to talk and to interact with them. I would ask you, what's the common denominator? What's similar about them? So I'm sure I would ask you, and you'd say, well, you know what? If there are only two people, the only two people in the Torah where it says, Vayashkem Baboker, they woke up early. Not only that, they woke up early and saddled their donkey. It says that by Avram when Avram embarked to a journey, of course, for the Akedah. Vayashkem Avram Buga Vayachavosh Es Asono. That's what it says by the Akedah. What does it say by Bilam? Same idea. Vayashkem Bilam Buga Vayachavosh Es Asono. And he saddles his donkey as he prepares. As he gets ready to go and curse the Jewish people. Second, what else is interesting about these two individuals? Well, they both come from the exact same location. Bilam comes from Mesopotamia, Min Aram Naharaim, it says, right? And that's where exactly Avraham comes from as well. And they both travel. Avraham and Lech Lecha travels from his place of origin, from his birthplace, where the place he was living. He traverses all the way down into another area of the Middle East. Why? To do Ritzon Hashem. Guess what? Bilam travels all the way down from Mesopotamia, not Eretz Yisrael, the other side of the river, to where Moab lived, also in order to do, shall we say, maybe not God's will, God's anti-will as well. That's what does not end there. Both of them are involved with angels. Both of them, angels tell them, do this or don't do this. Of course, the famous angel by the end of the Akedah, the angel tells Avraham, Al tishlach yadcha el anar. Do not touch, right? Do not cast your hand to the lad at all. Okay, next. What does it say by Bilam? So those of you that are familiar with the story, there's an angel in the way preventing Bilam from advancing. And the charbosh tufa biyado, it also, so in this case, it's the angel that has the knife, as opposed to Avram who had a knife to slaughter his son. Okay, but there's still similarity. And the angel says, right, and he doesn't say, but you can't go anywhere. After a while, the angel actually opened up its mouth, and says, right, what'd you do to me? Why you, I'm sorry. The angel's standing there. The donkey opens up its mouth and says, why are you beating me up? Okay, so again, not exact same parallels, but nonetheless, in both cases, there's this encounter with an angel. But that's not everything. That is definitely not everything. The most famous and obvious one exists in the following parallel. Guess what? It's actually, I want to show it inside. There's a parallel that's even much, much stronger. And what is the parallel between the two? The parallel between the two is undeniable. It is so obvious, this type of a parallel. The entire episode, struggling back and forth, is the following. What does he want to do? Bilam wants to curse the Jewish people. Why does he want to curse the Jewish people? A, try another Semite. B, cash. Balak is willing to pay him a lot of money. Melo beso, kesef is ahav. He's willing to pay him a tremendous amount of money. But here's the thing. Only asher yasim elokim befiel so adabir. Only what God places in Bilam's mouth can he actually say. So, and this is what he says over and over and over again. Find that second as the angel. We go to the end of, he visits him at his house. That's the angel story. Here we go, right? Pay him a lot of money. I'm not allowed to do it. After all, I want you, I know I'd love to curse the Jewish people, right? But it's not up to me. I cannot go over. I cannot do anything against the will of God. Lavor es p Hashem. And so this is something which Balak really wants Bilam to do, is to curse the Jewish people. What ends up happening? Well, I will tell you what ends up happening. As I'm sure you're familiar, guess what? Bilam does not curse the Jewish people. Three times, thrice, he tries to elicit a curse, and three times what comes out of Bilam's mouth are words of beautiful poetry. Beautiful poetry. Here we go. Here's the first one. Right, by the way, here's the source that Vera Min Aram, right? He comes from Aram. I want to show you that. Okay, fine. Ma kov look of a gal, right? Whatever I can say, Mashim Arenu, and Adlava Darishgon. Ah, at the end of the first blessing. Who can count the Jewish people? There's so many of them. They are numerous. That was the first blessing. We'll get to the next parallel in a second. Oh, isn't that interesting? How numerous are Jewish people? Well, what blessing, what bracha did Hashem give? Oh, hey. Wait, that was Aryeh? Is that Aryeh? It is Aryeh. No way. It's funny. I thought that was Aryeh before, but it was just like a mirage going by a camera. Wow, Aryeh, how you doing? Okay. So the idea here is that in the first bracha that Hashem, that Bilam attempts to curse, it ends up blessing. It mentions the numerous Mimana Far Yaakov. Wow, isn't that interesting? Who received the bracha? They're gonna be numerous? Well, I remember him. His name was Avraham. Keep that in mind. Second time. Tries again to curse him. Different angle. And here it is, number two. Kuma Lushma, here we go. Lo Ishkel, God is change his mind. Ah, I've taken a blessing, I've placed it. Right? Beautiful. No harm can be done at all. God took him out of Egypt. There are no witchcraft in the Jewish people. This is so much to talk about. Okay, but I want to highlight the end of the second blessing, just like I highlighted the end of the first blessing. They are what a people that rise like a lion, leaps like a king of beasts. Rest not till it's feasted on his prey and drunk the blood of the slain. What is it trying to say here? The Jewish people will conquer their enemies. Well, isn't that interesting? Those of you that recall from the end of the Akedah, Vayir Zarachat Tsarayvav, that after the Akedah, in the aftermath of the Akedah, the angel blesses Avraham, lots of people, lots of nation, and number two, they'll defeat your enemies. Isn't that interesting? What about the third time that Bilam tries to curse the people. Here it is. Sets it all up. Sets it all up. You might be familiar with Matovu Alacha. Here's where it comes from. Like the palms. Come to Egypt. Here we go. Look at this. Mivarechacha Baruch Varecha Aor. Blessed are you who bless you. Cursed are you who curse you. Well, isn't that interesting? Wow. Blessed people are blessed. What about Avram received that twice? Once in Lech Lecha and again after the Akedah. That what? V'nivruchu v'cha kol mishpachos ha'davar. Avram, this people, will be a conduit of blessing. Here's my question, my friends. Why doesn't it say, if we want to show this parallel, why is it telling me those who bless you will be blessed and cursed will be cursed? Why doesn't it say you'll be a conduit of blessing? You know, like if it's going to try to parallel Avraham, I have a clearer more parallel. I think the answer is, no. This is exactly what it means. When it says that we are a conduit of blessing, when it says, that all the nations will be a blessing. What does it mean? It means as follows. By how we act and how we behave, similar to our discussion from yesterday, people will say, wow, I want to be like that person. And that person sees himself or herself as part of Am Yisrael, as part of the Jewish people. You will be a source of blessing means if people can look at you and say, wow, Mevarechacha Baruch. Blessed are those who bless you. I want to be blessed. I want to attach myself to Am Yisrael. I want to attach myself to the Jewish people. Do you see what they do? Do you see how they behave? Do you see what they do for others? Do you see how much they care about other people? Do you see how sensitive and refined they are? Do you see how they look at the world and look at the world as being, as a cup being half full? If you look at the world, they don't walk around being haughty or being proud. They have a sense of humility. They know their place. They spoke about humility a few weeks ago. Humility doesn't mean that you're a schlepper and you're a nobody and you're a nothing, but you recognize you're just a conduit of God's bracha. You recognize that, yes, of course, you have talents, but when someone tries to attack you, you don't take it personally because you are above that. You're greater than that. You're more than that. You're not going to be brought down into the schmutz and the dirt and filth of backstabbing and speaking inappropriately, but rather you're going to be part of this notion of trying to raise up the spirit of others. Ayin Tova is seeing the goodness and having a ruach shefela, not a sense of highness and entitlement. I don't deserve anything. This is not my yearly, right? People in the world today speak about my rights, my rights, my rights. B'nei Avram Avinu, don't speak about rights. They speak about what are my responsibilities. What do I have to do klapay for others? What do I have to do for myself? How can I enhance and make this world a more blessed world? A world filled with bracha and blessing and goodness. Those are the questions. Those are the questions Vayashkem Avram Baboker that we wake up to on a regular basis. And that, my friends, is I think what is happening and what the Mishnah is referring to. The contrast between Avram and Bilam is trying to say they come from the same place. In fact, they even have great talents. They say Bilam was an incredible prophet, tremendous powers in his being a prophet. And he had tremendous spiritual negative energies. And we see, in fact, that he wanted to curse the Jewish people. But at the end of the day, the Jewish people are a conduit of blessing and to a bracha. Not because Bilam decided it, not at all. Kadosh Baruch Hu decided it. And when Bilam looked at the Jewish people, he could only say what he saw and what he observed. And that, of course, was that Am Yisrael was going to be a conduit of bracha and a blessing because of love of Bnei Yisrael. And I think this is a very powerful, this Mishnah is not just making a nice trick. Oh yeah, I compare the two. No. It's something extremely profound. Maybe Bilam an opportunity to be an Avraham. They came from the same place. There's similar words, similar language. He had an opportunity also to be like an Avraham Avinu. But instead, Bilam took his talents, took his resources, and used it for evil, and used it for negative, toxic, dangerous, hateful purpose. But maybe Bilam had the potential to be an Avraham. Instead of taking God's gift and using them for something positive, he tried to use them for something negative. Unless, of course, God intervened. And I think that maybe is one of these messages in this week's parsha. I'll tell you why. Because let's play a game. let's play a game called cut out Parshat Balak from the Torah. Okay, so let's face it. Maybe we'd miss out saying Matavu in the morning and going to Shul. Aside from that, what impact would it have? Zero. The story of Balak and Bilam is essentially irrelevant to the entire Torah. In fact, if I were to interview Mr. Israelite, hi, Mr. Israelite, how are you today? Great. So how was it being blessed by Bilam? They're like, huh? They don't even know the story, right? It's not like Balak and Bilam hang out in the middle of like the Jewish camp and be like, we're going to curse you, right? Or they scream and they yell. They're like, we're going to curse you, ready? And they're like, wave some magic potion and throw some, fairy dust on the people. Nothing. They're totally unaware of what's going on. We know what's going on because we read the story. By the way, does Moshe even know what's going on? I don't know. I'm not sure if Moshe knows what's going on. Well, I guess he knows because he has to record it, right? But aside from having to record it, I don't know if Moshe, did Moshe know like live this was happening? I'm not so sure. So the story of Balak and Bilam seems to almost be totally irrelevant. And by the way, it would have made this double parsha a lot shorter, right? Skip a couple of prakim. Oh, and get to the juicy stuff. Get to where Balak sends women to entice B'nai Yisrael. Now that's exciting, right? I mean, unfortunately, it's quite tragic. The woman enticed B'nai Yisrael and it works. They fall for it. They're involved in terrible, immoral, pagan sexual behavior and they get punished. Okay, we got a story. That, of course, the Jewish people are very familiar with, as is Moshe. So why do I have to know the entire back end of the story, of almost the failed attempt of Balak and Bilam? I see there's a story of the successful attempt of Balak to bring the Jewish people down. And the Medrash points this out. The Medrash says, Balak failed to hurt the Jews by cursing them. He couldn't do it. So he said, you know what I need to do? I'm going to have the Jews bring curse upon themselves. How can I bring the Jewish people to bring a curse upon themselves if they acted in an inappropriate way? Well, let me set that up. Let me set that up and see if I can have the Jewish people curse themselves by their own immoral behavior. And guess what? Tragically, that actually works. But then the question is, if I fast forward and after this event, B'nai Yisrael go to war against Balak. Do you know who they attack? They kill the kings of Moab. And it also says in Parshat Matot, which is in a couple weeks from now, that they also hang Bilam. Bilam? Bilam was so 3 weeks earlier. Why are they talking about Bilam, the war with Moab? Answer. The Torah wants to tell us Bilam failed to curse the Jewish people. Out goes Bilam, the prophet. But you see, Bilam was rehired as a consultant. You know these consultants? Everyone's a consultant today, right? You lose your job, that's okay. Become a consultant, right? I know a rabbi lost his job, became a consultant. He's a rabbi consultant, right? You know what he does? Funerals. It's a great job. COVID or no COVID? Well, more people are dying, right? It's a good job. It was out of business, right? So, it's one of those things you can always do, right? So, weddings aren't happening, but funerals, great business. Become a rabbi, funeral consultant. Why not, right? So, everyone seems to be a consultant today. So, Bilam became a consultant. He failed to be a prophet. He tried to curse the people, and failure, but there's a lot of money on the table. Guess whose idea it was to bring the curse to the Jewish people themselves, to their own action. That was Bilam's idea. And that is why B'nai Yisrael attack Moab. They don't just attack the kings of Moab. They also mention Bilam. Bilam does not leave. It was Bilam's idea to bring curse upon the Jewish people upon themselves. And I think this is a very profound message, that we have a lot of potential. We have a lot of opportunity. And you know how this all starts? With a good eye. An Ein Tova. If you have an Ein Tova, if you look at the world as a world of blessing and bracha and goodness and something positive and virtuous and happy and beneficial, no one wants to be around people who are negative and who are in bad moods and who have bad attitudes and who are, it's like toxic. If you walk around the world and have a positive attitude, an ein tova, look at things and try to see its beauty. Yes, it's difficult. Yes, it's challenging. But that's what it means to be part of Bnei Avraham Avinu. And if you're not haughty and you appreciate your gifts in life, that leads to ultimate blessing. And the only way you can be brought down is if you bring yourself down. The only way you can be brought down is if something external comes, entices you, and then you're brought down with having the Jewish people. And that maybe is the message. We should see ourselves as being part of Bnei Avraham Avinu, of something positive, of being humble in what we do, and seeing the goodness in everything and everybody, and with that, becoming and fulfilling our mission to become a conduit of blessing and of bracha for us, the entire world, and our families for now and for many years to come. Have a wonderful day, everybody. Have a terrific Tuesday. Thanks for joining.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.